It is Dave, it is Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Pittsburgh duo Zombie. The band's new album, Direct Inject, will be released on March 15th via Relapse Records. Is it 15th? Is it the 15th? I've written the 15th, yeah. No, I'm quite.
I trust you to be...
must be 22nd, I think it's the 22nd. Forget that. Just wipe that from your memory. I'm pretty sure it's March 22nd. Double check that during this review, but I'm sure it's the 22nd.
Chances are when this review drops, it'll be the Friday after it drops. So count it back.
So, formed in 2001, bassist synth player Steve Moore and drummer Anthony Patera had a simple mission. They wanted to play homage to the great horror film scores of masters like John Carpenter, Tangerine Dream, and Goblin. Over the years, they've expanded and experimented with their sound to the point where it's now its own thing. Capturing the spirit of previous albums like Escape Velocity and Surface to Air, while expanding the band's sonic palette into territory ranging from 80s synth rock to saxophone heavy slow jams.
Oh, we're getting to that. Oh man, I've never pleasured myself so much to a track.
Is Essential Zombie and quite possibly their most diverse and engaging record yet. The spirit of improvisation permeates Zombie's newest opus, coming out of a series of in-studio jam sessions, opening a door into the compositional world Steve Moore and Anthony Patera exist within and have existed in since the beginning. In 2022, after our tour with The Sword, we posted up in our friend's studio in Clearfield for a week of diner breakfast and gas station barbecue. Mm-hmm. We every day and improvise until we found ideas we liked. We then took these ideas back home to Albany and Chicago to give them structure. A few months later, after our tour with Ohm, Anthony went back to Clearfield to record final drum tracks. Everything else was recorded at my home studio. The only exceptions are Sessual 1 and Sessual 2, which were both written in early 2000s but never officially released. Direct Inject is Zombie in their finest form, taking improvisations and mining them for gold. So, Duncan, we were fairly versed with Zombie's music.
I've been a fan for a while. So
I think this is our third Zombie review since we started Metal Epidemic. To be honest, we've never really had much to complain about when it comes to Zombie releases.
Which, it kind of does what it says on the tin, if you know what I mean.
It makes it easy to want to review the next one, is what I'm saying. So Direct Inject. I'm imagining this was like necking a half dozen Viagra for you.
Necking to the Americans has taken something very fast in large quantities.
What do you think of this one?
So, like, Zombie exist in a particular sphere of interest in mine. For those that don't know, it's safe to say, horror obsessed fanatic. And my specific special, like, if this was Mastermind, my specific speciality, my chosen subject, if you will, is kind of European horror. Nay, Italian horror from the very late 60s, predominantly through the 70s and early 80s, where I think you get arguably some of the best horror scores of all time by, like, just guys who were workhorses, like, put out, like, maybe 6 or 7 movie scores a year. And while Zombie certainly in their upfront credits there reference people like John Carpenter, who's definitely over this, that influence hasn't really changed in terms of the synth work, I think they leave out a ton of influences which are clearly there, Goblin being one of them, and they did mention that Goblin is for sure one of the big influences, but I've always found that when listening to them, I get a bit of Fabio Frizzi, who did a ton of work with Lucio Fulci in the early 80s on his Gates of Hell trilogy, so that's City of the Living Dead, The Beyond, and House by the Cemetery. I get a little bit of Rick Sortoleone, who would go on and do things for Cannibal Holocaust and various other ones. And there's a little bit, of there of Pino DiMaggio, which you certainly get on the Sessual 1 and 2.
A wee bit of Pino DiMaggio.
Oh, yeah, there's a wee bit of the Pino in there.
Full bodied.
Don't mock Pino DiMaggio. He like scored some of my favourite movies of all time. But there's a bit of that in there as well, where the softer side of the man comes through. You can get it on many tracks here. And like I say, it predominantly comes at the two songs apparently they wrote 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
I was curious because we'd heard the two singles. And the first one, which was the post-atomic horror, had this kind of sludgier, heavier sound that we hadn't heard the band really move into before. And that's what they led with. It wasn't particularly long. It was about, it's just under 3 minutes. And I was like, does this mark the band's heavier ascent into... And then they released another track, which was it, I'm trying to remember what the other one was. Bodies in the Flotsam, maybe? Can't remember.
Yeah, possibly.
I think it was that one. And that one was not like that at all, right? That one was like... Actually, it was maybe... It was the one that was most soundtracky out of anything I'd heard from them in a while, where I was like, John Carpenter could have written this. It was basically one riff, and that riff plays pretty much for the entirety, and they layer up things, and the drums go a wee bit jazzy in the middle, but it's predominantly that for its 3-minute runtime. So I was walking in blind. The only thing I knew is I love the production sound. That's never been an issue. And the synths were on fucking point. Give me what you've got is what I said when I hit play. And I think Direct Inject is fucking rad. Like from start to finish, this is the one where I can imagine fully a movie being shot around it. Like in the past, I've always felt like, well, listen to their stuff, oh, that would sit really good on a zombie movie. This one would sit really good on a supernatural film. But they're all on one album. So it's kind of like almost what John Carpenter's doing just now, where he writes his Lost Themes or whatever it is that he does, which are basically a collection of tracks that could be used for movies, but not cohesively structured on an album. Direct Inject feels like the soundtrack to a movie, in the way that things like Carpenter Brut on Leather Teeth released a soundtrack that sounded like it should be on a movie. So that was the first thing that caught me. I was like, right, this is like movie score. And that's how I approached it. And as a result of that, when you listen to it front to back, it actually totally makes sense. A Direct Inject would be where you get your credits. It's like, it's punchy, it's synthy, there's a little bit of Carpenter in there, there's a little bit of Goblin, there's a little bit of prog. Sounds really, really good. It runs long. And that's cool. So Mote It Be, which is the next song comes in, has a kind of underlying kind of Carpenter groove about it. It's very John Carpenter. It's like synth keeping everything grounded, and you know, it's a little hooky bam 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 kind of riff thing, just keeping things going. And the band are having fun with this one. It just continues to build atmosphere. And the layering of the synth is what's exciting. Bodies in the Flotsam is the track which, like I mentioned before, when I heard it for the first time, I was a bit confused as to its purpose. Because it is so one-directional. There isn't really much that track does. But in context to the album, I actually found that it perfectly sets up Kimichi and Sandy, which is the next track. Which is this one that has like the 1980s tearing out it. This one is 2 seconds away from shoving on like a linen suit jacket and rolling it up over its fucking neon shirt. It's a mood piece. It's really, really structured in such a way that it has this kind of moody element to it. Very deliberate, very slow. But by the time it gets to the end, I'm like in love with it, because the kind of second closing section, the first half of the track is really building up to a motif that's going to continue playing essentially all the way to the end. And what they do is they keep adding synth elements on it to make it sound grander to this crescendo which you get at the end, which is this kind of huge movie moment. And you're like, where do you go from then? And then you get Sessual 2, which is fucking baby making music if ever you've heard it. Dear God almighty, I Like the, it came on yesterday as I was dropping my daughter off to school, and the car almost ended up in a ditch. I was like, what are we doing here, sexy saxophone? Oh, man. Just when you think you've got the band, I was going to say pegged, but that might not be the best description for... Just when you think you understand what makes the band tick, you realise that they actually like a little nipple twist. It's so fucking good. It's so well composed. I would love to know who's playing sax on this. The saxophonist on this one is humping the air and making love to that sweet music. I love it because it reminds me, it's the longest track on here, and rightly so, but it's structured so well. Like, this feels like jam material, you know. This is like guys just in a room just feeling the flow. The percussion on it's crisp, the production is lush, and it opens at the midway mark, opens the album up. I was over the moon. But then it comes back in, gives you some dystopian, the machines are coming to take over, the zombies have arisen from the ground, we're all out of fucking hope here, only one man can save us, it's fucking Kurt Russell and he's wearing an eye patch. Improvise, Adapt and Overcome is like a track that could have been on Escape from New York but was never written. It's fucking awesome. Once again, predominantly led by the synths. The synths are the lead instrument on this one. Synths are amazing. Synth playing is great. It's easy to overlook what the drummer does in this band, but I love it. It keeps everything locked in. It's nice and tight. It's not showboaty at times. There's a wee roll. There's a wee jazzy bit, but... you know, it kind of keeps things locked in. It's a great track. The post-atomic horror mentioned earlier on is probably the heaviest thing on here. It's got a big doomy kind of sludgy riff, works really really well on it. And then you're kind of heading towards the end. Insurmountable Odds is the second to last track, and it's the one that feels like it would play over the credits. You know what I mean? And we're gonna get to Sessual one in a second, but it's the one that feels like you'd be like, oh, that was a great movie, we should go and see that again at the drive-thru. It has a great way of tying everything in. Specifically Sims and the Sins lean back to other things you've heard before, and then it closes out on Sessual one, which obviously if you're me, your eye starts twitching because two came before one, and I'm like, why the fuck did we do that? Actually makes sense. It's really 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 cool. It to me on here is the kind of post-credit sequence. This is, you know, this is where you think you're out of the woods and our heroes are moving off into the sun, the camera starts to pan down, you realize the critters have laid one more egg. It's a great closing song. It has a bit of the Carpenter about it. Actually has a little bit of a Fabio Frizzi about it as well. It's really 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 cool. And you get to the end of the 9 songs and you're 42 minutes or whatever the album is, and I let out this like satisfied sigh. I just thought, yes Zombie, yes, you never fail to deliver, you've done it again. God bless Relapse Records for giving these guys a platform. I'm genuinely serious. I'm wholly confused, and we mentioned this recently about another artist, I'm wholly confused that I've yet to hear Zombie score a horror movie. That kind of feels like the quickest win ever, like for anyone, especially now that a lot of the aforementioned genres and time periods I mentioned are so back in style. And synthwave has kind of run its course in horror. It's kind of on the way out, that people are trying to get back into doing, like getting composers back into getting bands doing things. Zombie never failed to deliver for me. This is, I think, maybe my favourite thing they've released today. I adore this. I think this is really, 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 really fucking good. And if you can get your head into instrumental music, I know some people can't. If you can get your head into it, there's so much to enjoy here. It's just as a big, big old soapy hand job to a time period. And a style of kind of composition that I love, and done with all the best intentions and all the authenticity, there's a retro-ness about the production.
Yeah.
That just, it captures everything that you told me right now. Someone's remastered this Lost Sim track that was for this fucking 1982 Fulci movie that no one saw. Mm. And it's called Direct Inject. Give it a listen to. I believe it, man. I really, really, really would. So yeah, they didn't have to really sell me on this. They didn't even really have to try that hard. I'm glad they did. And I think this is fucking awesome. So that's what I think. Nice. What about you, David?
Well,
as a man that doesn't like soundtracks,
I am not
the genre that I mentioned.
Instrumental music in general usually is not something that I'm drawn to. Same with soundtracks. Although this year I've already had the Ishan album, which I was thoroughly impressed with the orchestral version he did of that. It was awesome. However, Zombie seem to be like the exception to the rule for me. There's something about Zombie that just kind of switches off the outside world for me when I'm listening to it. As soon as I hit play on Direct Inject, I was kind of like transported to another world, like Zombie's world, basically. And there were... I was kind of the same when I got to the end of this. I was just like, just felt like really kind of satisfied with everything. There are parts here that felt like a kind of mainstay, kind of staple of the Zombie sound, that classic vibe that they give off. Bodies in the Flotsam, post-atomic horror, I felt were kind of like prime examples of that. Slightly heavier, plenty kind of real kind of grooving drums. The synths are really moody, and you've got that 8-string bass just kind of locked in over the top of it. Very kind of like stripped back Zombie. And I can imagine like tracks like that will be a ton of fun for the band to play live. They come across like that on the album. Then you've got moments where they move into a more kind of like futuristic space. The opening title track is proggy. It's full of full of those kind of Rush vibes. But the synths are a bit more kind of direct, for want of a better word. They play a huge role in the kind of development of the track, and kind of ends on this very like climactic ending. It felt like a kind of like a battle scene in like a sci-fi movie. And then there are moments where you can hear this. There's definitely a more experimental side to it, where they are building on synth sounds. They're using little flurries in the drums and the bass work to kind of push the track into more expansive areas. Kamichi and Sandy being a great example of that. That track just kind of builds and builds, and you can hear that it's been jammed out and developed. It has that vibe about it. Then you've got like Sessual 2 in the middle of the album, which that track for me, I was just looking at the album artwork again. That track for me is basically the artwork summed up. Like, it just looks like that track is how that artwork should look. It's just perfect for it. That track's giving you that kind of like moment of big atmosphere. It's sexy as hell. Like, the saxophone on that is awesome, really smooth. It's quite kind of astral feeling. There's lots of like chimes and percussion and stuff. It's a really cool like kind of moody piece in the middle of the album, and it kind of sets up the second half of the album perfectly. I loved Insurmountable Odds. I think it's one of my favorite tracks on the album. That bass groove is fucking unbelievable. Like, I was so locked into that when I was listening to it. The synth works really quite dark on it, but it's a seamless kind of transition into that final track of the album, Sessual 1, which is another quite kind of futuristic kind of soak track. It's very retro, very full of kind of warmth, quite simple in its construction, but a great way to kind of bring the album to a close. It's another one of those releases that kind of, it gives me the same feeling as going to see something in the movies. It's kind of like a break from reality almost. When I was listening to the album, I had nothing else going on in my head for that 40 minutes that the album was on. You can just kind of switch your brain off and just enjoy the ride. Or if you want, that you can delve into the details and the nuances of it, because there's plenty of stuff going on that you can immerse yourself in as well. It's not a massive leap away from what the band have done before, but I'd say there are some kind of deeper prog vibes on this. more akin to their early kind of early 2000s kind of sound, mm-hmm. As well as kind of lean into some more kind of futuristic elements, which you'll hear on stuff like Escape Velocity. It's crazy to think, but this band seem to still be getting better and better. the chemistry between the guys is it's something that only comes through playing together for years and years, but every Zombie release, they just sound even more confident and even more in sync and cohesive as a duo. This one could be their most kind of unified sounding album yet, to be honest. This is such an easy listen. Like, 40 minutes flies by, and like there's nothing here that you'll be like questioning why it's there, or like as you said, this album feels very much like a full kind of full piece. Like there's yeah. nothing that feels like odd, like should be on a different album. It sounds like perfect altogether. Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed this one. Final thing, Direct Inject, what would you score this album?
So we did their previous album, what's that, you said 2022?
I think we did a 2020 and a 2021 release, I think.
That would track. Yeah, yeah. So 2020, I think Zombie came out the same time as Genghis Tron.
Right.
And I remember being like, Relapse are just fucking tickling my taint with all this synth. And I want to say I scored it very high. I feel like that may have been a 4.5 for me. I like the EP. I think this is better than both. This gets a 5 from me.
Oh, nice.
I think there's not a second I would change on this at all. I think it's the band at their apex at the moment. It's not the most complicated thing the band's ever done, but I think sometimes when they do that complicated element, it sacrifices some of the revisit appeal that you have here. This one is, to me, it's inviting. I keep wanting to go back to it and shoving it on, specifically at night time when the kids are in bed and, you know, I'm fucking around on the computer or something. This is the perfect background music for me. So yeah, well done, Zombie. You have achieved 5 stars with me, and long may you continue. I know you did tour 2 years ago, and me and Dave could not get out to see it because we were otherwise engaged. If you come back to Scotland, we're doing it. So yeah, 5.
Nice. I scored the last 2 releases, I think I gave them both a 4. This one I feel like is a step up. I feel like this is probably the best thing they've done for me. I'm gonna go 4.5 on this one.
Oh yes, Davey boy.
That's definitely one that I think I'll come back to more than the previous 2 releases. Zombie Direct Inject will be released on March 22nd, double check that, on Relapse Records. Links below to the band camp, check it out, have a little listen. I would say, although the singles are cool, listen to it as an album. It makes so much more sense and is more rewarding, I feel, as well. So that's the review. Thank you for checking out. We'll be back with another review very soon, but until then, take care, speak to you soon.
Bye everyone.